Blog Talk Radio.
Good morning, and welcome once again to A Sound Heart Radio. This morning's episode is entitled Autistic Thinking Overthrew King Saul's Life. If you have joined me for the last few shows, you know that we are discussing the relationship between the spiritual life and the flesh life. And the flesh life is characterized by the life of Saul. Spiritual life is characterized by the life of David. And so we have been studying the conflict between the two natures, as it were. Now, Saul, let me remind you, was the first king of Israel. He was chosen by the people to be their king and not by God. The people wanted Saul as their king because they wanted to be like the other city-states around them in the Promised Land. The other city-states had kings, visible corporeal kings, so therefore the people of God also wanted what they saw, visible corporeal kings. And God had warned his people, because they were a theocratic nation, that is, a nation by God. God had warned his people that if they had chosen a physical corporeal king, he would demand the best of what they possessed. They didn't hear this. They wanted what they wanted, and so they wanted a king in order to be like others. One of the great things about the Word of God is its very powerful consistency, and we see that the flesh has operated in a linear fashion throughout the history. And so we are looking at the results of a decision that, and a series of decisions that Saul made in order to lift up himself instead of God in his life. The life of Saul, the first king of Israel, is characterized by autistic thinking. Let me define for you autistic thinking. Autistic thinking is self-absorption, preoccupation with inner thoughts, daydreams, fantasies, delusions, and we're going to see that, drives, and personal logic. It is egocentric, subjective thinking, lacking objectivity, and preferring a narcissistic inner private reality to that with external validity. Another characteristic of living in the flesh is this type of thinking is called magical thinking. And so it is characterized by the belief that thinking or wishing something can cause it to occur. We're not going to see magical thinking so much in the life of Saul, as we will read about this in the book of Jeremiah. God's people had, of course, left God, and so therefore the thinking had become perverted and warped and skewed and dark. The thinking became quite complex and visceral, and that the people, again, all God's people, they were outside of the will of God for their lives. And so their prayers became ironic and self-accusing. And so the book of Jeremiah is a very interesting document, and it is well worth reading carefully, as the last Saul would be well worth reading carefully, studying carefully. God has a lot to say about the flesh and a lot to say about spirit. Word flesh in Hebrew is basar, B-A-S-A-R. In Greek, it is the word sarx. And Paul's great letter to the Romans, he is a systematic discussion of the doctrine of salvation or soteriology. And within that great theological document, he talks about the flesh, and the spirit. He writes that we are debtors then, not to the flesh, but to the Spirit of God, because of the great and wonderful thing that God has done for us through Christ Jesus. And so we are to live not selfish lives, but Christocentric lives. Another important thing to understand about the flesh is that the flesh is completely at odds with Christ-centered living. They are polar opposites, as it were. The fleshly person, or the self-centered person, the person who is characterized by autistic thinking, only thinks of self. Now, let me illustrate this from 1 Samuel chapter 15. Now, in verse 1, we read, Samuel said to Saul, "I am the one the Lord sent to anoint you king over his people Israel. So listen to the message from the Lord. This is what the Lord Almighty says. I will punish the Amalekites for what they did to Israel when they waylaid them as they came up from Egypt. Now go, attack the Amalekites, and totally destroy everything that belongs to them. Do not spare them. Put to death men and women, children and infants, cattle and sheep, camels and donkeys." The command is very specific. It is not general. This is the haharim. That is, everything must be devoted to the Lord. And in this case, everything was devoted to the Lord for destruction because of the atrocious and vicious history that these particular people had against the people of God. And so the command given to Saul is very specific. And I want you to see how this command given to Saul by Samuel galled his flesh. He, in other words, he rejected specificity of the message of God. And so this is how this will unfold in Saul's life. I want you to see something. So Saul, in verse 4, summoned the men and mustered them at Telaim, the 200,000 foot soldiers and 10,000 men from Judah. Saul went to the city of Amalek and set an ambush in the ravine. Then he said to the Kenites, "Go away, leave the Amalekites, so that I do not destroy you along with them, for you showed kindness to the Israelites when they came up out of Egypt." So the Kenites moved away from the Amalekites. Whereas the Kenites showed kindness, the Amalekites were the opposite. They did the opposite. They sought to destroy and to harass the people of God, and they did. Amalek, of course, was the grandson of Esau, 1 Chronicles 1:36. And so, again, Esau in the scripture is a picture of the flesh. Jacob is a picture of the spirit. So I want you to see this ancient conflict and how it unfolds. Verse 7, then Saul attacked the Amalekites all the way from Havilah to Shur, to the east of Egypt. He took Agag, the king of the Amalekites, alive. This is not what God said for Saul to do. In the Haharim, everything must be devoted to the Lord for destruction. That command included this king. The name Agag means violent. And so he took Agag, king of the Amalekites, alive, and all his people he totally destroyed with the sword. But Saul and the army spared Agag and the best of the sheep and cattle, the fat cows and lambs, everything that was good. He's walking by sight and not by faith. We walk by faith. We are joined. We're commanded to walk by faith, not by sight. Saul walked by sight. Here is the prison of the flesh. Here is the skewed vision of flesh. Here's the narrowed view of the flesh. And this, of course, was the test of obedience, the test of complete obedience. And Saul is going to fail this test. So what he believed was the best, including this king he brought back, they were, and notice in verse 9, they were unwilling to destroy completely. But everything that was despised and weak, they totally destroyed. Notice the language of the writer. And he skillfully tells us the heart set of Saul and the army. They were unwilling to destroy completely. Now, verse 10, when then the word of the Lord came to Saul, to Samuel, I am grieved that I have made Saul king because he has turned away from me and has not carried out my instructions. Samuel was troubled, but he cried to the Lord all that night. I want you to see what is going on here. And so here we have on the part of Saul, because he was a person given to the proclivities of the flesh, He did not complete the will of God, the known will of God. So it was incomplete obedience. And so the Hebrew word is shub. It's given to us in the Cal Perfect. And it shows the character of Saul's thinking. And we get to see the heart of Saul. He was not willing to completely obey God. And indeed, when Paul discusses in great detail the ways of the flesh, he talks about the flesh in such a way as to let us know that the flesh does not have the ability to please God. It in no way wants to please God. It is totally concerned with self. Notice what goes on. Samuel is crying out to the Lord because of this very significant event. And notice in verse 12, early in the morning, Samuel got up and went to meet Saul, but he was told, Saul has gone to Carmel. There he has set up a monument in his own honor and has turned and gone on to Gilgal. At my next show, we will continue to discuss this very important issue. Good morning. My name is Dr. Josiah Rich. Have a wonderful day.